All right, if you guys have your Bibles, we're finishing up our series entitled Next Door. Can you say Next Door? All right, say it one more time, Next Door. Next Door, yeah, we're finishing up our series entitled Next Door. And so over the last few weeks, this is going to be the fifth Sunday of our series, but we've been talking about really what it means to be a good neighbor, and we've been talking about how our mission field is, it's more than, you know, you think about missions, a lot of times you think about going overseas or going to China or going to South America or going to Europe or going to Estonia, going to all these different spots, and that is our mission field. God has called us to do those things, but God has also called us to be missionaries next door, and so that's what we've been talking about for this whole series, and I'm not going to do it today, but every week I've been having you guys close your eyes and envision your neighbors, and I'm not going to do it today, so for the last 5 weeks, so the first week we talked about fueling up, and we talked about how we are compelled by the love of Christ. Like, God's love compels us. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And specifically in Scripture, it says that his love compels us, and the love that it's speaking of is the event of Jesus Christ coming and dying for us on the cross. And so his love compels us, and so we have to fuel up. We got to get the airplane fueled up. I have my airplane right here. Actually, Nate helped me make this beautiful paper airplane. Can we give Nate a hand this morning? Or no, is this the wrong one? Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Ah, here it is. Nate made this beautiful airplane. And so, the first thing we have to do is fuel up. And then the second thing we have to do is we have to get some passengers. And so we talked about that a few weeks ago. And we talked about taking off and having that conversation. And then last week we talked about navigating the flight plan. And I gave you guys an acrostic for the gospel. And how many of you guys remember what the acrostic is? Raise your hand. Oh my goodness, you heathens. I'm just kidding. So the G stands for, do you remember? God created us to be with him. The O stands for our sins separate us from God. The S stands for sins cannot be removed by good deeds. The P stands for paying the price for sin. Jesus died and rose again. The E stands for everyone who trusts in him alone will have eternal life. And the L stands for life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. So we talked about the flight plan last week. And so today we're going to be talking about landing the plane. How many of you guys like it when the plane lands? Is it better than when it takes off? Yeah, like for me, the worst part is when it takes off, and I kind of get excited when it lands. I'm looking out the window. I'm making sure we're not falling out of the sky. I like it when the plane is coming down, and so I think I've told you guys before, I'm not much of a plane person, and so today we're going to be talking about landing the plane, and so if you guys have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51 is where we're going to be at this morning. And so, John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Follow me and come and see. Follow me and come and see. John chapter 1. Verses 43 through 51. Follow me and come and see. It says this. It says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. Follow me. Come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Can you imagine the Lord looking at you and saying that to you? Like, to me, I feel like if Jesus walked in, he might say, Evan, you got some problems there. But you know, Evan, you're preaching a good message, but there's a couple things that you need to work on. You got to work on treating the family better. You got to work on not slacking off at work. You got to work. But he says, Philip must have been a great guy. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him and said, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Follow me, come and see. Can you say, follow me, come and see? One more time, follow me, come and see. Follow me and come and see. God, just be with us this morning as we look at your word. May it come alive to us, Father. May you speak to us through your word. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Follow me and come and see. You know, when I was looking at, as we're kind of landing the plane today, and I was looking at this passage of Scripture, and I was looking at the call of Philip, it's really kind of personal in nature, isn't it? It's interesting because when you go back to verse 43, it says, "And the following day, Jesus," who wanted to go to Galilee? Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. So Jesus said, "I'm going to go to Galilee." And he goes to Galilee, and he finds a specific man. So he goes to a specific place to find a specific man. You think about all the different places that he could have went. He could have went anywhere. He could have went to Hawaii. He could have went to Aruba. He could have went to Tucson, Arizona. He could have went to any number of places. He could have went to Jerusalem. I'm sure there would have been some good people that he could have found in Jerusalem. He could have went to a bunch of different spots. He could have went to Damascus. He could have went to any place that he wanted to. But specifically, it says in Scripture that Jesus specifically wanted to go to Galilee. And when he goes to Galilee, he goes and he finds a specific person in Galilee. He goes to a specific place to find a very specific person. There's lots of different places that he could have gone to. There's a lot of different people that he could have pursued. But when I'm looking at this, and when I was studying this scripture this week, I was thinking, man, there is definitely a personal call to Philip. It wasn't there? When you read this, there was definitely a personal, very specific call to Philip. And in fact, it's weird because if you keep on reading throughout the Gospel of John, you can see that Philip was there during the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. He was mentioned as a follower throughout the book of John, throughout the Gospels. He's mentioned personally at the Last Supper. Tradition tells us that eventually he became a missionary to Turkey and that he died for the sake of the cross and for the sake of the gospel. But man, this call was so personal. He went to a specific place and he found a specific person. And when I think about the call that God has on your life, the call that he has on you specifically, it's not like, you know, like when you're watching the TV and you hear the commercials and it's like, you know, I'm trying to think of some of the slogans. You're watching some, and it's like, neat place, neat store. That's, you guys remember Shopko? Yeah, no? Is that Minnesota thing, I guess. Neat place, neat store. Like you listen to the commercials, and all the commercials are just generic, and you kind of get to a spot where you're just like, okay, yeah. And people, in fact, they pay more for the streaming services because they don't want to have to deal with the commercials because it's just like generic information coming out, and you know, people are trying to sell you stuff, and people are trying to, you know, get you to buy their shoes, and they're trying to get you to buy their makeup, and they're trying to get you to buy all the different things. They're trying to, you know, I'm trying to think of a the Lincoln with Matthew McConaughey, where he's sitting there and he's like, "Mr. Lincoln," you know, whatever. It's like you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So many times in life, the calls that we get are so generic, they're so blah, and you end up just kind of tuning things out. And sometimes you're just like, okay, here we go again. Here's that State Farm. Jake from State Farm. Here's this commercial again. I'm so excited about Jake from State Farm. It's like we hear these things over and over and over again, and it's like, okay, whatever. Yeah, sure, Jesus loves me. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus cares for me. Whatever. Like, I've heard this 1,000 times. But did you realize this morning that God's call for you is personal? He knit you together while you were still in your mother's womb. In fact, in Scripture it says that every good and perfect gift, everything that you're good at, Paul, everything that you thrive at, Stephanie, everything that you have been blessed with, Eric, are things that God has given us, and He has called us, He has found us, He has searched for us. His call is personal. Are you thankful for that this morning? His call is personal. It's not like we're listening to a commercial and here we go again. Or I get phone calls at the church all the time. Bring, bring, bring. Yes, this is Subsplash calling, and we happen to notice that your website is poor, and it's just a recording. Please call us back at 888-555-1212. Bye. No, our call is personal. He knows you by name. He has equipped you, and He has ministered to you, and He has given you gifts and callings. Out of all the people, out of all the places, out of all the locations, out of all the cities, out of all the people in the world, Jesus went to Galilee and He found Philip. His call is personal. And I would wager that if I went and I spoke to you about a time in your life where God spoke to you, you'd say, "Yeah, that was for me." It wasn't like God spoke to you and it was a generic, "Oh, you know," but it was God's call is personal. It's personal. The other thing that's interesting about the call is not only was the call to Philip personal, he went, he found him. He went to a specific city and he found him. But also, the call is very simple, isn't it? It's very simple. And part of me is like, okay, so maybe Jesus was just in a hurry. So because he was in a hurry and it's at the beginning of his ministry and Jesus knows that he has a lot of things to do, he has a lot of people to minister to, that's why the call was so, you know, that's why it was just follow me. Like, I'm sure if he would have had more time, perhaps he would have. But it's interesting because this is not the only time where Jesus' call is this simple. In fact, I would say if you look at Scripture and test me in this, please test me in this. But if you look at Scripture, you can see that this call is spattered throughout the Gospels. When Jesus saw Simon and Andrew casting their nets, he said, "Follow me." When Jesus saw Matthew sitting at the tax collector booth, he said, "Follow me." When Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler, he said, "Hey, you need to sell your possessions, but then you need to follow me." The simplicity of the call, it's a simple call. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." It's interesting because he doesn't, in this passage of Scripture, you think this would have been a great opportunity for Jesus to speak to Philip and give him the 16 fundamental truths of the assemblies of God. Would it not have been? You think in this moment of Scripture, it would have been a great moment for Jesus to ask Philip to first qualify himself to follow him. It would have been a great opportunity for him to say, you know what, Philip, first you must memorize the Torah, and then you must buy a nice suit to follow me with, and then after that you must make sure that you raise your kids in a godly way. You must be perfect, and you must abstain from this and from that. In order for you to follow me, you must follow these list of things to do before you can follow, but no, it is simply follow me. The call is simple, and it is direct, and it's straight to the point. And what I actually don't like about it, if I can I be honest with you this morning? What I don't like about it is he doesn't give any details. Man, he doesn't give any details. He doesn't say, Philip, follow me, and what you're going to do is you're going to follow me into this town over here, and I'm going to talk about some cool stuff, and a bunch of people are going to follow me, and I'm going to feed 5,000 people, and we're going to hang out, and you're going to be a part of my group, and you know, you follow me, we're going to go from town to town, and people are going to think I'm pretty cool, Philip, so it's like, come and follow me, and eventually some things are going to happen, and people aren't going to be so excited about this, and eventually we're going to have this supper, and I'm going to tell you some things, and then eventually I'm going to be crucified, and eventually you're going to become a missionary to Turkey, and once you go to Turkey, you're going to die for the faith, and so, you know, here's all the things that are going to happen, but he doesn't tell him any of these things. It's just a simple follow me, and sometimes I feel like that's the most discouraging part about following Jesus, because we want to know everything. We want to know every step. We want to know every turn. We want to know every misstep. We want to know everything that's going to happen. We want to know the good things and the bad things. When I think about my own life, I'm like, man, it would have been nice if the Lord would have told me when I was in college, well, actually when I was in college, that, hey, Evan, I want you to go to Evangel, and there you're going to meet your wife, and from there you're going to go and intern at a church, and you're going to eventually become a youth pastor there. But things are going to go, you're going to be there for a short time, and then I'm going to send you somewhere else, and then I'm from there, from Missouri, I'm going to send you back to Michigan, where you left, which you didn't want to go back to Michigan, but I want you to go back there, and I want you to serve at a church there for a while, and then I'm going to kind of orchestrate things, and everything's going to perfectly line up for me to send you to another church that needs a pastor. And while you're pastoring this church, guess what? You're going to go through some ups and downs, and there's going to be this crazy thing called COVID that like messes with everything and makes everyone insane. And Evan, you just need to be faithful and hold yourself through it. And yeah, I'm going to sustain you, and I'm going to fortify you, and I'm going to, you know, but the Lord never told me any of those things. And he never told Philip any of these things. And he never told you any of these things when he called you. He didn't tell you of all the things that were going to happen. He didn't tell you about all the ups and downs you were going to go through. He didn't tell you about the insecurities that you were going to face. He didn't tell you about the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties. His call is simple. And it's weird because it almost seems like it's merely directional. It's not from point to point to point. God just calls us to follow him. It's simple. Follow. It's difficult. It's difficult to follow him sometimes. You know? In fact, sometimes I feel like it'd be easier to follow him. Maybe follow him like almost more like a spectator, where I can just clap as I watch other people follow him, you know? I kind of wish that I could just, at times, I wish that I could just sit down and take it easy and watch others follow him and be like, hey, that's a... Cassandra's doing a good job, isn't she? You know, I'm so excited for Faith. She sung this last week. Can we give her Faith a hand? She sung at Fine Arts. But you know what? It is so fun to just watch her from a distance. You know? It is so amazing to just sit and watch and to see how other people follow him. But remember, Jesus' call is personal. And when he calls, he's not just calling other people, but he's calling you. And we can sit and spectate, but when we follow, you know, the difficult thing is following, it's personal, it's difficult because it's simple, but it's also difficult sometimes because, man, when we follow someone, what that means is we're following them, like, right? So that means that we're leaving something. We're leaving comfort, we're leaving what we enjoy, maybe we're leaving habits, we're leaving sins, but when we're following someone, we're following them, and Jesus, the crazy thing is, he doesn't always just take us to the Boca Raton. He doesn't always just take us to the nice places. He doesn't always just take us to Hawaii. He doesn't always just take us to Tucson, Arizona. He doesn't always just take us to the nice places. But when we follow Jesus, we're following Jesus. We're leaving something. If anyone were to come after me, he must deny himself. Oh. He must pick up his cross. And he must follow me. It takes faith. It takes obedience. Man. The call is personal. He's not just calling me. He's calling you. The call is simple. He's not going to give you all the details. It requires obedience. It requires faith. It requires us to leave something and to go somewhere. Yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you with my words. I will cheer you on. But it requires us, requires you to leave something, and it requires you to go somewhere. Man. So Philip heeded the call to Jesus. And that's a big decision. You know, maybe some of you are here this morning and you're like, yeah, no, that's not me. That's too big of a call. I can't do it. That's too much. But Philip, and listen, that call is for everyone. All who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't matter your background, your past, whatever. That call is for everyone. And so maybe you came in here today and you've just been watching and searching from a distance and whatever. Wow, you know, I've just been kind of checking this thing out. Man, this call is for everyone, every person. It's personal for you today, which is amazing. And all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But Philip listened to the call. He said, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. And so look what he does in verse 44. He said, now Philip was from Bethsaida. And Bethsaida means the house of fishermen, the house of fish. The city of Andrew and Peter. He was in Bethsaida. And Philip, once he decided to listen to the call, to follow Jesus, it said, Philip found Nathanael. He's like, hey, we found him. This is the one that Moses and the law was talking about, the prophets wrote about. We found him. You ever had a conversation with someone like that? It's like, man, I found the Lord. I found him. He came and he changed me and he transformed me. And I followed him for just a moment. And I knew that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I was in his presence for a minute and I just realized that the Lord just transformed me. There's something powerful about coming into the presence of the Lord for the first time. I don't know if you remember how it felt. Maybe you still feel that way, how it felt when you experienced the joy of the Lord and the forgiveness of the Lord and the greatness of the Lord. He's like, I found it, man. I found it. Like it's Jesus. I found him and he's in Nazareth and he's Jesus of Nazareth, and he's the son of Joseph, and he's just proclaiming this this hope. So first, it's interesting. So first, Jesus found Philip, and then Philip found Nathanael. So you see how like sometimes Jesus just finds us, and sometimes other people locate us and bring us to Jesus, and God allows us to be a part of the process. And so Jesus found Philip, and then Philip found Nathanael, and the first thing he does is he says, "Listen, Jesus, I found this guy Jesus, and he's the guy." And it's like, man, he's just like this conveyor of hope. You know, our theme this year is hope, and Philip is giving this hope to Nathanael, and he's just being an ambassador, and he's compelled by the love of Jesus, and he's like, you know, the Moses and the law and the prophets wrote about this guy, and he's from Nazareth, and that's exciting, and it's interesting because Nathanael, I don't know if you've ever had an experience like this where you're super excited and you're telling someone about Jesus, and you're like, oh my goodness, the Lord, yes, and Nathanael just like deflates his balloon, and he says, can anything good come from Nazareth? Have you ever had a moment like that where you're excited about the Lord and someone just shoots you down? And it's interesting because Nazareth isn't mentioned at all in the Old Testament. It's a small city that's about 55 miles north of Jerusalem. And really the culture didn't really think much about it at all. Nazareth was uncelebrated, it was obscure, it was off the beaten path. I was reading some stuff on it this week, and someone even said that the people in Nazareth, what they would do to, they're kind of like a small city that wanted to keep everyone, a small town that wanted to keep everyone away. So they would purposefully keep trash in their streets to just keep everyone away. And so I'm like, wow, that's kind of insane. And so Nathanael, when he hears that, hears Philip and he hears of Jesus, he has this perception of Jesus. Oh, Nazareth? Oh, Nazareth? That place is a dump. Come on. Nazareth? We're talking about Nazareth here? We're talking about Riverview. I don't know. We're talking about Taylor. Are you kidding me? We're talking about Brownstown. There was a small town in Minnesota called Dumfries. We're talking about Dumfries. It's like, what are you talking? It was an obscure off the map. No one cared about it. You wonder. And what is our response when someone is like, Jesus? Christianity? Can anything good come from church? I mean, come on. I mean, I heard in the news that there was this this pastor who had a moral failing, and come on. Can anything good come from church? Can anything good come from Christianity? I mean, the Christianity has, you know, it's garbage. I mean, Jesus, I've heard about this guy. I've heard, you know, he's been doing some things. I heard he's been talking. I heard some of my friends have been following him, but come on. He's from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. Follow me. Just come and see. Come and see. You know, maybe you're dealing with some hurt. Maybe you're dealing with some sorrow. Maybe you're dealing with some church hurt. Maybe you're dealing with some God hurt. Maybe God didn't move in the way that you thought that he was going to. Follow me and just come and see. You know, we are merely ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know, the reason that I come and I prepare a sermon every week and go out and talk to people and make a fool of myself all the time is because I am trying to align people with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's all I'm trying to do. Why does the worship team come up and why do they practice and sing and play? And just to align people with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Man, just come and see. You've been going through some difficulties. You've been going through some hurt. Just come and see. Because what it does, even when you bring people to church, like you can show people Jesus other ways too, but when you bring people to church, what it does is it gives an opportunity for people to come and see him move in our midst. You know what? Follow me. And then just come and see. And it's crazy because when he came and he saw Jesus, man, that's how that we want people to see Jesus. Like that's why we do what we do. We just want people to see Jesus, right? Like we just come, we just want people to see Jesus. Because we know that in a moment in his presence, he can do so much more than a million sermons, a million songs, a million outreaches. It's just a moment in his presence. Now, it's difficult because when we invite someone to come, it's the fear of the invitation. I don't know. But also, it's an expectation, which is difficult too, because sometimes you think, okay, you know, first of all, it's the invitation, but also it's the expectation. But when Philip decided to reach out to Nathanael and invited him to come and see, it says in John chapter 1, verse 47, it says that Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said, "Do I know you?" Like, do I know you? It's interesting because you think about this call and this could have been an opportunity for Jesus to speak of all of his sins. It could have been an opportunity for Jesus to speak of all of his downfall. It could have been an opportunity for him to, and he's like, this man is a good man. Do I know you? Jesus' call is personal. Follow me. Come and see. And Jesus answered him and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now it's interesting. I'm like, what's the significance of the fig tree? And I was reading around and I didn't realize this, but it was common back in the day as young men would study the scripture. It was common for them to study the scripture and to search scripture, and they would do this under the shade of a fig tree. And I guess to me, I'm thinking maybe Philip was, or maybe Nathanael was studying the scripture under a fig tree, and he's searching for answers, and maybe he's going through some things in his life, and he's asking God, have you ever done that before where you've searched in scripture and you're like, God, just reveal yourself to me. God, just speak to me. God, I feel like I'm going through some things, and I want you to minister and whatever. And Jesus in that moment says, "I saw you under the fig tree." And so I'm thinking, because of Nathanael's response, Nathanael must have been going through something or asking for something or looking for something. I saw you under the fig tree. I know that you were looking. I know that you were searching. I know that you were struggling. I know that you were asking for answers. And I saw you under the fig tree. I saw you there, and I know that you're looking for something. Follow me and come and see. In verse 49, it says, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Is that what you believe? Because I saw you under the fig tree? Because I know about your struggle? Is that why you believe? Because I'm going to do a whole lot more than that. Listen, when you surrender your life to Jesus, giving your heart to Him is just the beginning. God wants to do so much more in your heart. Man, that invitation to come and see is an invitation for others to encounter Jesus. It's an invitation for us to experience the supernatural. It's an invitation for our life to be changed and our heart to be changed. Follow me and then come and see. The Lord's call is personal. It's simple. Will you choose to follow Him today? And if you're following Him, will you choose to find others to come and see and experience the supernatural with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords landing the plane?